From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he continues a series of messages on the subject of prayer, focusing especially on the Lord's Prayer. For a number of broadcasts, Dr. Cairns has been dealing with the third petition in the prayer, Thy will be done. Last time, he began to look at the rest of that petition, in earth as it is in heaven. He remarked that many Bible scholars see this phrase as referring to the first three petitions. This view prompts believers to seek a vision of the God to whom we pray. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, this is the weakest area in the prayer lives of many of God's people. A clear sight of our great and sovereign God will revolutionize our praying. First, we invite your attention to encouraging words from Faith's Checkbook, a devotional collection from the pen of the great 19th century preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Today's meditation is entitled, Comfort on the Way Home. The text is Genesis chapter 50, verse 24, And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you, and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Joseph had been an incarnate providence to his brethren. All our Josephs die, and a thousand comforts die with them. Egypt was never the same to Israel after Joseph was dead, nor can the world again be to some of us what it was when our beloved ones were alive. But see how the pain of that sad death was alleviated. They had a promise that the living God would visit them, a visit from Jehovah. What a favor! What a consolation! What a heaven below! O Lord, visit us this day, though indeed we are not worthy that Thou shouldst come under our roof. But more was promised. The Lord would bring them out. They would find in Egypt a cold welcome when Joseph was dead. Nay, it would become to them a house of bondage. But it was not to be so forever. They would come out of it by a divine deliverance and march to the land of promise. We shall not weep here forever. We shall be called home to the glory land to join our dear ones. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Praise Him for His mercy, love, and grace.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If this series on prayer is helpful to you, you may be interested in obtaining Dr. Cairns's book, The Lord's Prayer, which contains the text of the entire series. You may purchase a copy in a number of ways. You may find the book on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Simply go to the website and click on Web Store. If you prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. However you choose to obtain a copy, you're sure to receive a great blessing as you apply these truths about prayer in your own life.
the greatest weakness in the prayer lives of most of God's people is that there is little thought of the God to whom they come. There is thought of self, there is thought of circumstance, there is thought of need, there is thought of many things, but there is little thought of the God to whom we actually make our approach. And what I'm saying and what the Lord Jesus is plainly teaching is that the fundamental necessity in prayer is a vision of the glory of God. Nothing humbles the flesh more than this. Nothing frees us from the care of the world more than a vision of the glory of God. Nothing delivers us from the fear of man more than a vision of the glory of God. Nothing will lift us above the tyranny of circumstances more than a vision of the glory of God. That's why Moses prayed in the anguish and the agony that was his, leading a nation of millions through the wilderness. Lord, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Or as the psalmist prayed in Psalm 119 and 135, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. As I was thinking of that this morning, it appeared to me, and I didn't know that Dr. Barrett was going to be reading the passage about the Son of Righteousness. You know, that the sun is always shining. When you live in Northern Ireland like I did for so many years, it's hard to believe that. When you live in a place, say, like Finland, where it's dark for 6 or 8 months of the year, it's hard to believe the sun's always shining. But it is. It's there. In fact, if it weren't shining even in Finland, where you never see it practically, except a little while in the summer, and in Northern Ireland, where you don't see it very much either, you still couldn't live. I'm tempted to get into a wee bit of theology there. I don't really have the time. But I want you to realize it is only because the Son of Righteousness is always shining that the very people who deny Him and curse Him are kept alive to do so. You think it through and you realize it's true. But though the sun is always shining, as I've indicated, there are many places where people don't see the sun. And they are not living in that glorious experience of the beaming fullness of that sun shining. So when the psalmist says, make thy face to shine upon thy servant, when Moses says, I beseech thee, show me thy glory, what they are praying is, Lord, cleave through the clouds. Lord, beam your way through all the obstructions and the things that are hiding the glory of God. Take away the scales from off our eyes. Remove the blindness and the darkness and let us behold the glory of our God. As I thought of this, I thought, Lord, there are certainly clouds of confusion. Cleave them today. There are clouds of affliction. Let the sunlight come through those clouds and scatter them. There are clouds of unbelief, clouds oftentimes of prejudice, clouds of worry, clouds of doubt, clouds of fear. These are the things that come between us and our God. Very often there are deeper, denser clouds. Some of you cannot see the glory of God this morning, because like that woman of whom we read in the ministry of the Savior, she was bent over double with her face to the ground. It's hard to see the sunlight when you're looking at a molehill. John Calvin talked about those who deny the glory of God, and he made it clear the reason why is because they have their nose stuck in the earth and their eyes fixed on the little worms of this earth. Is it much wonder they don't see the glory of God? There are some who need to pray, God, deal with the clouds of wickedness and worldliness and sin and backsliding. Take my focus from off the earth and fix my focus on the glory of God. We need to see the glory of the person and the perfections of our great Redeemer. The Lord told Moses, thou canst not see my face. There shall no man see me and live. Just as the human eye cannot fix itself, even at a distance of 93 million miles, cannot fix itself upon the full beaming of the sun in the heavens, much less if it were any nearer to it. So no man can see God and live. He only hath immortality, dwelling in light, which no man can approach unto. So how may we see his glory? I love the words of John 1:18. The only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Or in John 14:9, where the Savior said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. That's what Paul meant when he wrote to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In other words, in the great revelation of God's redeeming love in Christ, he shows us his glory. Do you want to see the glory of God? Then study the gospel. Oh, it's true, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. But I want to tell you, there's never been a soul in the history of the world since the fall of Adam that ever came to comprehend anything much of the glory of God by looking at the heavens or the earth. Why? Because we're blinded by sin. We're stupefied by the depravity of our hearts. And it's only as we understand the redemption that's in Christ that we get our eyesight back to begin to see anything straight at all. We need to study the gospel. We need to read nature in the light of the gospel. Some people don't like that. But I'm glad the Holy Ghost likes it. He tells me in Colossians chapter 1 that by Christ, the mediator, all things consist or cohere or hang together. It is only with the progress of modern scientific study that we can even begin to understand some of the ramifications of that. As we understand the constant motions from the smallest cell right out to the greatest body in space, and how everything has to be held together. There is a coherence in it all. And I am told it is by Christ the mediator that it all coheres and hangs together. If I want to understand anything of the glory of God, whether in creation or in Scripture, I must study Christ. Meditate on this in prayer. When you come to pray, you need to see the glory of God. But listen, this is not some charismatic beam. This is not some mystical light. This is the hard discipline. And yes, it is hard discipline. For the flesh is lazy or too busy, too taken up with things that demand attention. That's why I spoke a while ago about the tyranny of circumstances. You don't have time to do this. It's the devil's lie. You must have time to do this. To get your book open and study the gospel until the beauty and the glory of your God in the face of Jesus Christ beams right into your heart. That's the vision that we need. Can I say to you, that is the most practical thing in the world. I am sick, sore, and tired of the folly of preachers preaching practical messages, as they call them. They are the most impractical things in the world. What is it that's going to make men holy? Is it a course in understanding the wickedness and the depravity of sin? No, it's not. That'll only make you more unholy, according to Romans chapter 7. Is it telling you all the high principles of character that you must attain to? That will only make you all the more unholy. It'll either drive you to the very breach of those principles, or it will make a Pharisee out of you as you think you're attaining them. There is only one thing, and this is not my opinion, this is what the Bible says. There is only one thing that will give a person the inward motivation and the inward power to do good and be good, and that is the sight of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, it's spelled out in so many words. We all, with open or unveiled face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed, or are being changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What is the great instrument the Holy Ghost uses in the proceeding and progressing sanctification of His people? What is the great instrument? It is this instrument of taking time with the Word of God. This is the glass. This is the mirror. James defines it as that. So we're not left to your conjecture or mine. We come to this mirror, this glass. We look into it to see the glory of God. This book was written by the Holy Ghost. Dr. Barrett has been dealing with some of the problems people have been facing with texts and versions and all the rest of it. Let me tell you. Let me make this very clear. This Bible is the inspired Word of God.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.